This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Monday, December 21st, 2009. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters Podcast. My name is Bo Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
And Ryan's back. Welcome back, Ryan.
Thank you. Good to be back in the United States.
Good to have you here.
Yeah.
I could handle these alone, but I just don't want to.
I gotcha.
It's much more interesting with you.
Yeah, thanks.
Who are we talking to today?
We are speaking with Don Gabor.
And what's it going to be about?
It's going to be about surviving the office holiday party.
Now, Ryan, I asked you before we did this interview, I said, isn't it a little bit late for this? I mean, here we are, close to the Christmas holiday,
mm-hmm.
and here we are doing the podcast. Shouldn't we have done this a month ago?
Well, perhaps. I got two things to say to that. One is that the Toastmaster magazine just recently came out.
So you're blaming Toastmasters.
Oh, geez, I shouldn't have said it that way. but more to the point, a lot of companies, at least here in the United States, have their holiday parties in January. The company that I worked for several years always did that. It's even more popular trend.
And as we get to in the conversation, there's even a bigger reason that this information is good for pretty much any social business gathering.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So it's not just the holiday party.
Definitely.
Great. Well, this comes at the perfect time because I got to tell you, we just had a holiday party at my house, and I got to tell you, I'm not that good at starting the conversations.
Oh, really?
Really. Hi, my name is Bo.
Hi, I'm Natasha.
Hey, great weather we're having.
Yeah, it's great.
So pizza without sauce, one could argue, is no longer pizza.
Oh, are they serving pizza here?
No, I was just saying.
Oh, okay, I gotta go.
Huh, so it was that bad, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, hopefully Don Gabor can help you out. And Bo and I are speaking with Don Gabor. Don is known as America's small talk expert. He helps professionals grow their revenue by starting profitable conversations with people in business and social situations. He is the author of the book Turn Small Talk into Big Deals and 10 other books and tapes on interpersonal communication skills. Don has also written an article in the December 2009 issue of the Toastmaster magazine entitled Talk Smart at the Holiday Office Party. Don Gabor, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Don. How are you?
Hey, I'm happy to be with you.
Don, how's the weather?
Oh, well, the weather's great. If you're if you love to ski and you like to trudge through the ice and snow of Brooklyn, New York, one way to start a conversation. That's for sure.
You get that question a lot in the starting conversation business.
It's not so much what you say in the beginning of a conversation; it's how you say it. And what a lot of people don't understand about small talk is that it's a good thing because it's a way to open up the contact, and that's a big part of what small talk does. It shows that you want to communicate, and if it starts with the weather, so be it.
Gotcha. I got to tell you off the bat, Don, that you're fighting an uphill battle with me. I'm a big believer of non-small talk. It annoys me. But after reading your article, I'm a little bit more convinced, so I'm hoping that after speaking with you, I will be completely sold on the small
converted.
Talk. I'll be converted. I'll be a convert.
You know, a lot of people say that they think small talk is a waste of time and they think it's not important. And I really want to tell people that the opposite is really true for a couple reasons, and I'll be really brief, but this is what it boils down to. One is, for people to make contact with one another, they need to pick up signals that the other person is willing to communicate. That's why whether you open with a conversation about the weather or the person's walking a dog or what kind of food is available at the holiday party food table, it shows that you want to talk. So that's one thing. Small talk also provides an opportunity for a quick exchange of information. We don't walk around with our resumes and tell other people our life stories, but with small talk you can quickly go back and forth and back and forth, balancing the conversation, even in a couple minutes, and find out enough about a person to keep the conversation going or push it into a direction that you want to. And it could be a business or a social direction, but it provides you with that fuel. And finally, small talk gives you, even if it's just for a minute or 2 minutes, it gives you a sense of who the person is that you're talking to. Do they feel comfortable wherever he or she is, or do they feel a little bit nervous or uptight, or are they a real logical thinker, or do they kind of like to jump around in their conversations? So this is valuable information for anybody who wants to make connections, whether for business, social, or personal reasons. So small talk, for those three reasons alone, other than all the other stuff that happens as a result of small talk, should be enough to convince you that it has an important role to play in communication and connecting with people.
Okay, maybe I need to rethink the way I approach the situation then, because when somebody starts a conversation with me and asks me about the weather, I immediately write them off as somebody who doesn't know how to have a proper conversation. But maybe that's incorrect, right? Maybe that's they're just working their way in to find something in common.
Hmm. Well, everybody has their own style of communicating. So I might ask you, well, what is the way that you like to start conversations? And maybe you like to jump into a business topic, or maybe you like to jump into some other kind of topic. The point here is that people have their preferences. What I want to encourage you to do is don't make a judgment about a person so quickly that you really haven't had an opportunity to connect. You know, people make judgments about one another. I mean, this is human nature. The mistake, I think, is many people make is that they jump to conclusions based on a slightly different style of connecting. And this is one of the big things that I like to talk about in my workshops and in this new book, Turn Small Talk into Big Deals, is talking to people, communicating. And this is what Toastmasters do. It's like a dance. And every person in your audience, whether it's an audience of 10 or 100 or 1, has a different style of communicating. And the best communicators, I believe, are those that know how to adapt their communication style to their audience, whether it be 1, 5, 10, or 100. And that's it. That's why I want to encourage you to, instead of just writing somebody off if they don't have the same style as you, mm-hmm. is to, you know, be willing to dance a little bit and see if you can connect. Chances are you can, and then the world opens up to you with that individual.
Do you think you could give that a shot, Bo?
I don't know. I'll try.
All right.
Let me just point out one other thing.
Sure.
Again, human nature. I'm not a psychologist or therapist or anything like that, but I know how people think a lot of times. And the chances are, if you meet somebody and you immediately don't like the way they interact, whether they start with the weather or any other, I mean, some people don't like to talk about business until they get to know somebody, so they could, you know, not like that. But if you put an X through somebody, in other words, you just shut down on them right away, well, what do you think that other person is going to do? How do you think he or she is going to react to you? They're going to do the very same thing. This is human nature. I don't like you. You don't like me. I don't like you. Okay, that's the end of it.
Right.
So, you know, what's happening in that situation is you're cutting off a lot of potential relationships, social, business, or otherwise, that could really be quite fulfilling for both of you. So hopefully I'm going to give you some other alternatives to look at when you meet people for the first time.
So, Don, how much do I owe you for this therapy session?
Well, it's not really therapy. It's just communication style.
I understand.
Toastmasters are communicators, and we learn how to communicate with audiences. Conversation is just another form of communication. It's another form of public speaking, except I call it speaking in public. And so you want to apply the same principles, I believe, that, you know, to both situations. That is, know your audience and deliver a message to your audience that will land and have an impact on your audience in a positive way.
Very good.
Fantastic. Well, Don, let's steer the conversation a little bit towards the direction of surviving the office holiday party, which is our topic today. And of course, I just want to start off by saying that what we're going to be talking about is not specific just to the office holiday party per se, but really could be applied to any business social function. But Don, Just to give our listeners the right mindset, if you're a career-minded professional and you're going to be going to the office holiday party or another business social function, what should be your goal or your mindset going into that event?
My mindset, whenever I walk into any group of people, particularly at this time of the year, is to have a good time, connect with people, and find out what their goals are for the next year, and see how I might be able to help them in some way. And by going in with that attitude, it's not about me, it's about connecting with people and how I might be able to help them network. It changes everything. One of the things that I really I like to do, and it works for me, is if possible, and it isn't always possible, but I try to get the guest list. And the guest list can just simply be something that somebody emails to you, the host of the party or the organization that's holding the event. The value of that is it helps you get an idea of who's going to be there, how many people. It helps you remember those people's names, and that's a big part of networking and dealing with a holiday party.
Sure.
And then also it helps me focus where I may want to put my attention. You know, you say, what kind of mindset do I have? My mindset, I'm a business person, so I go to these parties with one objective of connecting with other people who are in business because I'm interested in that. But my mindset is open for contact with the purpose of helping others.
Gotcha.
And thereby helping myself, too.
So when you get that guest list, do you Google them?
Yes, I do. Sometimes I'm looking at the list. If I see somebody on that list that I would like to meet and I'd like to maybe find out a little bit more, I do Google them, and I find out maybe the business that they're involved in, or maybe something that's specific to that business or that industry. So I have some topics of conversation. And sure, I'm kind of like you, Bo. I mean, I very rarely start conversations with the weather. Mm-hmm. Plenty of people do, but I'm, it's not my way. I prefer to find out a little bit more of what's going on in a particular industry, if it's a business-related function, and kind of begin the conversation along those lines, or related to what the event is focused on. And if it's a business holiday event, you know, I find a related topic. But yeah, right. I will Google people. I don't want to find out any personal information, just anything that I can do that might help me guide the conversation into an area that I'm interested in.
You think after you Google them, you know a lot about them. Do you think they'll find that a little bit creepy? Who is this guy? How does he know so much about me?
I mean, you know, if that's the case, then why would anybody have their name on Facebook? Why would anybody have their profiles in LinkedIn?
Exactly.
I go to those kinds of websites just to get a sense of what the person is involved in. I don't know about you, but if somebody Googles me and I meet them at a party and they say, oh, I saw an article of yours online at the Toastmasters website, I'd be flattered. I wouldn't think that was creepy. Might be if somebody kind of starts to go into areas that where, you know, they really don't have any business interest, and from, you know, you're not going to find anything about me on the web about that, because, you know, that I keep to myself. So no, I don't think so, not today.
Gotcha.
Good question though, Bill.
Thanks, Ryan.
Don, to get to one of the fundamental issues of the office holiday party, wonder what advice you could give the person who is fearful of those first few moments when they walk into the room, they look around, and everyone seems to be at ease and engaged in a conversation. And there you are, maybe alone, maybe with your spouse, and that self-consciousness starts to come all over your face, right through your body. What tips could you give someone who experiences that on how they could relax or take some kind of positive step to overcome those self-conscious feelings?
Okay, that's a great question, Ryan, and it's one that I'm asked a lot. Let's just go back to that mindset. People go to these events to socialize. That's why they're there. Now, the spouses are dragged along sometimes, so you know, it can be a little bit more difficult for them. But I want to encourage people, when they walk into this room full of strangers, they're all there for the same reason. They're there to have a good time. They're there to socialize and hopefully maybe meet some people and have an interesting or fun kind of conversation. So that alone should take a little bit of the fear away. What I do is also I look for people who are already engaged in conversation. I look for friendly faces, maybe a familiar face, or somebody that looks like they're having fun. And I kind of gravitate towards those people. I go to the food table or wherever there's some kind of center of activity, and I engage quickly. The longer a person waits around, the longer and the harder it seems to become, and the more self-conscious people get.
Mm.
The big problem shy people have is they worry about this stuff too much. They worry, is somebody going to think this or that about me? Are they going to think I'm coming on too strong? Am I going to say the right thing? And all this inward thinking, it's the same curse of the speaker when he or she goes up in front of an audience and starts thinking the very same things. I mean, you know, people, they get tongue-tied when that happens in front of an audience. Same thing happens in the room full of strangers. So what's the answer in front of the audience? You get outside yourself and you focus outward towards your audience. What can you give them? What kind of connections can you make? And that's the same advice that I give to the shy person walking into a party. It's the very same thing. It's public speaking in public. And then engage. The sooner you engage, the quicker the interaction begins to take on a life of its own.
Gotcha. I found it kind of interesting in your article, I think your point number 7, things that you do not want to do or steer clear of, is talking about politics or controversial subjects. And I asked Ryan about this. I'm like, do you think he means talking about only things that are superficial?
Like the weather?
Like the weather? can you explain that a little bit more? Is that what you are referring to?
Well, if anybody thought the weather was a controversial topic, they wouldn't bring it up as much as they do. So, no, that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to topics that people have strong personal opinions about and tend to want to defend those opinions in a way that can lead to an argument. Sex, politics, and religion are the three big ones. And the reason that you want to avoid those is because it's not because they're not interesting, and it's not because it's not important. It's because that in a party situation, the last thing you want to do is to create distance between people. And although this happens all the time, particularly between relatives at holiday parties and you know that kind of thing, if you start talking politics, even if you are correct in your view, or in your view you're correct, somebody else is going to disagree, and that's immediately going to set a tone of adversity, which will make other people around you feel uncomfortable. So it's best to go into more positive topics, and I don't mean Pollyanna, but, you know, goals, what you enjoy, things that are fun or amusing, interesting. There's lots to talk about. If you go to the controversial subjects, it really generally will not lead to a very positive outcome. That's been my experience, and I think most people's experience will bear that out.
Okay.
Yeah, Don, I think some people may think, I'm going to go to this party and I'm going to play it safe. I'm not going to say a whole lot. Maybe I'll take a page from Dale Carnegie and I'll just do all the asking other people questions and get other people talking. But I got the sense from your article that it may be a bit harmful if you don't say enough. Could you maybe talk about that a little bit for us?
What you described there is only half the equation of communication, and that is listening or asking questions. What do people really want out of an interaction? I mean, just go basic human nature. We want to create a connection, and connections are based on trust. So trust is achieved through information that we get from one another, and we assess that information somehow. So if a person is only asking questions and absorbing information or going after information, then the other person who's only giving out the information has nothing coming back. And this is the kind of relationship that, you know, police officers have when they're interrogating, you know, suspects, and attorneys have if they're asking questions about, you know, a witness. And so the relationship isn't an equal one or a balanced one. So the trick here, and it's very simple to do, is just to kind of keep a mental awareness of how much information you know about one another and just balance that. So if somebody asks you some questions about maybe, you know, your background or where you grew up or, you know, what you studied in school or anything like that, just be sure to give out some of that similar kind of information. It doesn't have to be tit for tat, but at the end of the conversation, both people should know enough about one another that they can get a sense, and it should be about the same type of information. If one person knows a great deal more about the other, conversation's out of balance, and one of those people will be kind of feeling a little bit, something isn't quite right about that interaction, and they'd be correct.
All right. This is some good stuff here, Don. Thank you very much for writing the article and explaining to us even further here on the Toastmasters podcast. I hear that you have a new book out. What's that about?
Yes, I do. It's called Turn Small Talk into Big Deals, and the subtitle is Using 4 Key Conversation Styles to Customize Your Networking Approach, Build Relationships, and Win More Clients. It's a mouthful, to say the least, but the main title is called Turn Small Talk into Big Deals, and I'd love to send out in a PDF download the first chapter free to anybody who would like it, and it is free. All you have to do is send me your email address, and you can email me at don@dongabor.com. That's Don, D-O-N, at D-O-N-G-A-B-O-R, my name, .com. And I will be happy to send you the first chapter of my new book, Turn Small Talk into Big Deals.
Oh, wonderful.
That's fantastic.
That's a great gift. Thank you. Well, Don, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much, and we look forward to meeting you someday.
Well, thanks for inviting me, and Bo and Ryan, I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
All right, you take care.
Thanks a lot, Don.
Bye. Alrighty, we do have some listener feedback. This one comes from a past guest of ours on the Toastmasters podcast, episode number 9, Mr. Michael Varma. He writes in, Bo and Ryan, I was catching up on the older podcast and heard a segment regarding awards presentations and installation meetings where the speakers are essentially performing one-person plays and riffing with inside jokes. I, too, enjoy a good solo act and a healthy dose of humor, but I find it inappropriate and short-sighted for the long-term goals and growth of the clubs, districts, and beyond to conduct meetings in this fashion. For example, at the district installations dinner, that's probably too long to read. Yeah. Maybe I should skip the example.
Mm-hmm. He's complaining about something that happened at his district, too.
Yeah,
that's probably not going to...
It doesn't reflect well on Toastmasters International.
And then he continues, I encourage all officers at all levels of Toastmasters to complete the Special Occasion Speeches, catalog number 226N, specifically modules 4 and 5, which are presenting and accepting an award. Both can be applied to installing new officers. Michael Varma. Michael, thank you very much for that information.
Thank you,
Michael. Appreciate it. And if you want to leave us any listener feedback on this show or any other show, we would love to hear from you. Ryan, how could they do it?
You could call our listener feedback voicemail line at 1-888-451-8862. You can send an email to podcast@toastmasters.org. You can post on our blogs at toastmasterspodcast.com. Or you can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/thetmpodcast. We'd love to hear from you.
And thank you very much for listening to this episode. And Ryan and I would both like to wish you all out there a very happy, healthy, and safe holiday season. Until next year, my name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com. And let us know how we can help you.